The greatest need in America today is not economic. It is not political. It is spiritual. The greatest need in America is a fresh awakening in the church.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, my concern is not the presence of darkness in our society. My concern is not what sinners are doing in the world. My concern is the absence of light in the society. My concern is when righteous people don't live righteously. My concern is that those who are supposed to bring the awakening are often themselves asleep. Thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire, Michael Brown. Glad to be with you, fresh back from my week in the greater New York area. Here's the number to call. If you want to weigh in, the need for awakening in the body, the promise of awakening, things that get in the way. Why is it we talk so much about revival and yet we don't see it? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can weigh in online on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. As we focus on awakening, I want to give you a picture of what real awakening is. I want to give you a picture of some of the things that God has done historically. I've been an eyewitness in the midst of some extraordinary moves of God over the years. I mean, the genuine, real deal. I want to talk about what gets in the way of revival, of awakening. And I want to help you so that your own life, you can be someone whose own life is ablaze, whether you're non-charismatic, charismatic, if you're a follower of Jesus. I want to talk to you about awakening today. Again, the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. We've got some important resources we want to make available to you as well. Just a couple of personal updates first. One is I had a wonderful time in New York, and, you know, there's the traffic and the challenges and the ins and outs and all of that. But I preached a few times over the weekend in Brooklyn, gave myself plenty of time to get to the airport, and got into a massive, some of you are sitting in one right now, massive traffic jam on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway with nowhere to go, three lanes going into one, standstill. Instead of getting to the airport early, I had a race to get there on time, only to arrive to find out my flight was delayed an hour. So a half-hour ride became 2 hours, then got there, had to stick around another hour. So the other side of New York, the traffic side, just wore me out, just the slightest little bit. The other thing I just want to say, when I was joking about – it was nice to see the Yankees being merciful to the Red Sox this weekend. But when I was joking the other day about the Yankees and Red Sox, I didn't know they were actually playing at that time. It just dawned on me because our engineer in the studios, Joey, is a big Red Sox fan, and they had the woeful start to make the comment. So I didn't know they were playing. I wasn't trying to provoke a fight. I love our listeners in all parts of America, and Jesus is bigger than the sports world, is he not? What I want to focus in, though, is what is awakening? What is revival? What are we talking about? So let me give it to you as I've defined it through the years, all right? We're not just talking about a series of special meetings. We're not just talking about emotionalism, hype. Here's what we're talking about. Revival is a season of unusual divine visitation, resulting in deep repentance, supernatural renewal, and sweeping reformation in the church, along with the radical conversion of sinners in the world, often producing moral, social, and even economic change in the local or national communities. Charles Finney said this: a revival presupposes declension, in other words, backsliding. A revival presupposes that the church is sunk down in a backslidden state. And a revival consists in the return of the church from her backslidings and in the conversion of sinners. That's what we want to talk about, genuine awakening. If the light within you is darkness, Jesus said, how great is the darkness? America's greatest need, although the nation certainly doesn't know it, America's greatest need is for radical awakening within the church. Back with more. Stay with us today on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The question has been asked through the years, why is it that we are willing to, why is it that we don't see revival? The answer is because we're willing to live without it. For many of us, revival is an option. Hey, you know, economy's tough, and my family has some struggles, and church has some ups and downs, but we're okay. There's not the desperation, there's not the hunger, there's not the thirst, there's not this commitment that we have to see God move and shake us, or it's too late for this generation, that we need an awakening within the church before society can be changed. The biggest problem in America is not political. It is not economic. The biggest problem in America is not military. The biggest problem in America is a sleeping church, a compromised church in the midst of the nation. And if you listening say, you know, I think I'm part of that. The fire is not there anymore. The hunger for God's not there anymore. The passion for truth, the willingness to share the gospel, go against the grain, it's not there anymore. I need personal awakening. Then stay tuned because I want to encourage you. These words are not to condemn or criticize. They are to help us take hold of our destiny in God. Here's the number to call if you'd like to weigh in on the subject of awakening. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online with links to other resources, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire and then click on today's show. I'm holding in my hand two books that I wrote, one in 89, one in the first edition in 95, and then it's come out in subsequent editions. And they are my two core books on revival, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise and From Holy Laughter to Holy Fire. I was saved in 1971, radically, wonderfully saved. As most of you know, my testimony is from LSD to PhD. And that was a time when around the world, God was saving hippies, radicals, rebels. Just an extraordinary move of God was taking place around the world. And in many ways, it lacked spiritual fathers. It lacked a repentance base. But those that really came to the Lord and got their feet solidly under them have gone on now for 40 years or more. A real wonderful, radical thing that God did. So I never had an interest in just kind of tepid, lukewarm, quote, Christianity. As a Jew in particular, I wasn't going to just join some other tepid religion. I had a tepid Judaism. I was not part of a fervent Orthodox Jewish household, so I kind of had a tepid Jewish upbringing myself. I was not going to go from that to some other tepid religious form. It was only when the fire of God really burned in my life that Jesus was everything. And then the late 70s, early 80s, as I was pursuing my doctoral work at New York University and kind of turning from some of my earlier spiritual roots, Jesus was central to me. I was serving actively as an elder in a church and preaching, teaching, and yet the fire was going down. I was becoming intellectually and theologically proud. And people helped pray me back on fire. I'm not talking about an emotional display. I'm talking about real deep devotion to Jesus, where he is your all in all, where serving and honoring God is your all in all, where we're making him known as your all in all. The fire ignited my life again in late 82, early 83, and transformed me and transformed many who were close to me. And I began to study and read a lot about revival at that time. I had read some, studied some before, but about these moves were in a short period of time. A whole city can be changed, a community can be changed, a nation can be rocked, and more people brought into the kingdom that last for years and years and years, and in 1 year of revival than 10 or 50 or 100 years without it. So revival became a great passion of my heart. That's why I wrote End of the American Gospel Enterprise in 1989, and then some years later, Time for Holy Fire. That's the current name of the book. And in these books, I recount what God did in past revivals. I recount some of America's history, some of the foundations of revival, some of the prerequisites for revival. And I said this all the way back in 1989. Look at our American scene today. The reproach we suffer is not for the Messiah's sake. We're not scorned because of our militant stand. No, we're mocked because of our leaders' sins, because of our failure to be holy and clean. Gospel and greed seem to go hand in hand, and our society equates evangelist with exploiter. Yet Jesus is the head of this body. How can this be? The world is unreached. Tens of thousands die daily. and Islam and the cults march on, yet we waste away our lives before our big screen TVs, claiming our blessings in him. And all the while, Jesus, the Savior of the world, pours out his heart in us. I gave my blood for the people of this world. I gave my life for theirs. Won't you go reach them with my love? I have no other voice than yours. Do you hear his urgent pleading? The road to revival begins with confession, with a heartfelt admission of poverty and need. It begins with contrition, with fasting and groaning, with the proud in heart forced to their knees, and it begins with a purging, a spirit of burning. It begins with the call to repent. Perhaps in the midst of this show, I'm talking with you, I'm not preaching to you, preaching at you, but perhaps in the midst of this show, there'll be something rekindled in your own heart, because awakening begins one person at a time. And you get these coals burning and closer and closer together, more and more coals, suddenly fire begins to shoot out and touch all the other coals that weren't affected, and even those that are just standing by the grill to carry out that figure of speech. So I'm going to give you some examples of historic revivals in the program today. I'm going to talk through some of the hindrances to revival, some of the things that will help us. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to interact with you as well. Let's begin with Jay in Fairfax, Virginia. You are a minister. What's your take on this, sir?
Well, the most pressing need for America right now is revival. Several years ago, I was involved with a group of pastors in Florida at a Florida Idea Exchange, and we began to explore several questions over a three-day period, but the main one was, is the tide of revival out in America? And we never got off that subject for 3 days straight.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found was is that the larger churches and in America and in the church in general, we have scheduled God out of our churches. We have time for programs. We have time for all types of other activity. But when it comes to time for repenting, setting aside our lives in order for him to not come in and take part of what we're doing, but to come in and take over what we're doing, we seem to not have that time. And the interesting thing was the lead pastor there, it was at a very large church in Florida. He ended up clearing his schedule and had a plead for people to begin to pray, and revival broke out in 1993. This group was in 92.
Mm.
Revival took place for about 3 years there, and I and another pastor from our church moved here to the D.C. area to begin to pray for revival, spiritual awakening, and community transformation. And as we began to pray, we saw a move of God, but the interesting thing was there was a point at which I saw that begin to wane, because people said, we want our church back. We want to be able to end our church services at a certain time, get to the football game. We want to do life as usual, and God's getting in our way. And the Holy Spirit tends to stay where he's welcome.
Yeah, Jay, you know, I've got a break coming up, but in a short period of time, you have eloquently described some of the real problems and some of the real need. How much room do we have for God in our lives? How much room do we have for God in our personal schedules? How much time do we have for God in our corporate gatherings, in our house meetings, in our family times of devotion? If God came and visited us, would we welcome him? If Jesus came to be born today, would he be born in the manger because there's no room in the inn? I'm speaking spiritually, of course. So, Jay, this is something we all have to ask ourselves. Do we really want God? Can we really welcome him? But thank you, sir, for calling in, and continue to cry out to God for the greater D.C. area. I'm sure that God will hear your prayers.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Friends, Jay has bottom-lined it for us. I'm going to come back and talk more about that with you. I'd love to get these two books into your hand, End of the American Gospel Enterprise and Time for Holy Fire. They'll help ignite something. They'll help stir something. No hype here. We've got hundreds of hours of free resources on our website, AskDrBrown.org. And as you go there, you'll be helped and blessed. So take advantage of those. But we've got a special offer. End of the American Gospel Enterprise, Time for Holy Fire. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Listen to what D. Martin Lloyd Jones had to say. The greatest sin of the evangelical church is that we want to put God in a little box. Ooh, we're talking about awakening, revival. God visiting his people, not just a series of meetings like in the South. We talk about we're holding a revival next week. Not just a series of meetings, no. And not an emotional display where everybody gets all worked up and psyched up. We're talking about not something we can work up, but something God sends down. We're talking about God awakening the hearts of his people, convicting us of our backsliding, convicting us of our compromise, convicting us of our lethargy, giving us hope in life that we can be renewed and restored. And then as we're changed, there's an impact that flows into the society, and the same spirit that's visiting us is visiting the world as well. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Yeah, once again, I know there are a lot of things going on in the world today. We could keep talking about Japan and yet another earthquake and the ongoing nuclear crisis there and the questions in Libya and other parts of the Middle East and bombings in Israel and the economy and the budget in America. Lots of issues, but can I tell you that the key issue is that we are awakened ourselves, that we are visited by God ourselves, that the fire burns afresh in our own lives. 866-34-TRUTH, if you'd like to comment on the state of the body, if you'd like to comment on our need, if you'd like to comment on a promise, perhaps, of revival from the Scriptures, 866-34-TRUTH, online, askdrbrown.org. In my book, Time for Holy Fire, I have what's called the Hypocrite's Checklist, ways for us to examine our own lives to see if we are hypocritical. Because many times when God moves, it shakes things. I'm not talking about people just being silly. I'm talking about God moving. It shakes things up. Look at what George Whitefield said. I mean, universally respected by Christian leaders today in the evangelical world, Whitefield, who lived from 1714 to 1770, said this: five churches have already been denied me, and some clergy, if possible, would oblige me to depart out of these coasts. Why? Because when God really comes, sometimes we just prefer to have our little show, our little routine. We'd rather have that than have the fire, the power, the presence of God. Do we really want God in our lives? Or do we just want something convenient to help us live a happy life? Jesus is our means for living a happy, fulfilled, blessed, prosperous life. Jesus comes to make me a bigger and better me. But when Jesus comes and says, deny yourself, take up the cross. But when Jesus comes and says, be radically changed and enter the kingdom of God. When Jesus comes and says, I desire to be the Lord of your entire life, do we welcome that? Do we welcome that? 866-34-TRUTH. Look at what Brian Edwards wrote in his book, Revival of People Saturated with God, and I quote this in Time for Holy Fire. God moved among a group of Christians in Madras in 1940. The churches at first were supportive until they realized that the man God was using was Bhakti Singh. Suddenly, the ministers' conference came to a decision. We in the Indian ministers' conference have met and passed a resolution never again to make any place available to this Punjabi preacher. Our objection is that he is not an ordained minister and therefore had no right to baptize anyone. Ooh. Wasn't that what they said about Jesus? I mean, by what authority to do this? Who are you? You're not part of a group. What if you're charismatic and God begins to pour out his spirit at the non-charismatic church down the block and people are getting radically converted and believers are getting set ablaze and backsliders are coming back and the neighborhood is being touched and they reject your charismatic theology? Or let's reverse it. Let's say it happened the other way. Or let's say you're post-trib and it happens in a pre-trib church. Or let's say that you hold to a certain form of church government, you're Presbyterian and the Spirit's poured out in a Lutheran church, or you're Lutheran and the Spirit's poured out in a Pentecostal church. I'm talking about people who preach Jesus, who love God, who love the Word of God. We're not talking about heretics. We're not talking about people who are denying the fundamentals of the faith. Would we welcome God moving in a way that was different than what we expect? One thing I've learned in my study of revival over a period of years and being in the midst of some significant moves of God here in America and visiting other places in the world where God is moving, that generally speaking, when God visits, it's different than what we were expecting, at least in some way, or it is more than what we were expecting. Why? Because we can't contain things in our own little box. God is bigger. And some of the problem is that we seek to contain everything in some little box that we can control and turn on and off. We want to have a lovely surface, but do we want to take God home with us? If you understand what I'm saying, that we take him, but that he goes along with us in that same presence. And we've been worshiping for a while. Maybe it's not time to turn on the TV and waste 2 hours. Maybe it's time to keep worshiping. Well, that's a little much. Not when you're really encountering God. Think of those early days. Maybe some of you experienced that first love where you couldn't wait to be with the Lord. You couldn't wait to read the Word. You couldn't wait to pray. You couldn't wait to share the gospel with someone, right? Well, what happens? What happens? We get cold. We get lethargic. We get worldly. Maybe you went through a difficult church split. Maybe a painful divorce. Maybe someone in the family died. Maybe the economy hit you. Maybe you disappointed yourself. Maybe you got in a rut you couldn't get out. And little by little, sometimes suddenly the fire's gone, the passion's gone, the hope is gone, the faith is gone. That's where we go to God, and we turn to God and say, God, start something in me. Here's what a man named Gypsy Smith counseled about how do we pray for revival. He said, draw a circle on the ground, then get inside the circle and say, God, revive everything inside this circle. All right, next half hour I'm going to get into more about revival, but I want to bring things to a little bit of a change here and just give you an update. The bogus reviews continue to pour in on Amazon, people who've never read the book, and some of the 5-star reviews, positive reviews from genuine readers have not yet been restored. We are looking into it for the sake of truth and ethics, but you got to hear this. Okay, I'm going to read the title of a 5-star review. So this is a top positive review on Amazon, and contrast it, this is from an actual reader, with a non-reader who's blasting the book. 5-star, a voice in the moral wilderness. 1-star, Christianist lies. 5-star, love the sinner, not the sin. 1-star, this is the religious handbook on how to get away with homophobia. Another positive review, truth spoken in love. Negative review, there is no justification for this book. Now, bear in mind, none of these people have read the book that are blasting it. How about this one? Awesome book that finally brings to light what homosexuality has done to our nation. Negative review, poorly researched, affirming mythical stereotypes, poorly formulated arguments. Again, by people who haven't read the book. I'm going to read a few more than the negative ones. This book is inaccurate and downright dishonest. Complete garbage. Misinformed propaganda at its worst. Waste of money. Bigotry again. A bigot's guide to excusing bigotry. Fact-free and insulting, but what did you expect? What's the opposite of scholarly? Friends, go to Amazon.com. Weigh in there. Your voice makes a difference. If you don't have the book yet, get hold of it. And then go and seek God for fresh touch, fresh revival, fresh moving of the Spirit in your own life. The website, askdrbrown.org. Plenty of resources waiting for you there. You can listen to them, be stirred, be quickened in your own life.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Check out this account. Enfield, New England, 1741. In 1989, I visited the site of this historic move of God, this historic outpouring in the midst of the Great Awakening in American history. Michael Brown talking about our great need for awakening today, talking about the critical need for a fresh wave of revival in the church, whether America knows it or not, and certainly most of America doesn't know it. That's the hope of the church, 866-34-TRUTH to weigh in with your thoughts on the need for awakening or what gets in the way. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Enfield, New England, 1741. It was here that one of the most remarkable revivals took place. God had begun to stir the New England area out of its worldliness, apathy, and unbelief in the mid-1730s. But the town of Enfield remained untouched. Jonathan Edwards, the brilliant philosopher, theologian, and shortly before his death, president of Princeton University, was scheduled to preach there one Sunday. We would hardly call it preaching today. He read his text monotone and without gestures, and because his eyesight was so poor, he held the pages pressed up to his face. The congregation was a casual, godless bunch, but the neighboring town had been in deep travail the previous night for God to extend his mercy on that group. I'm reading to you from The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, my first book on revival, which came out in 1989. On that Sunday, July 8th of 1741, as Edwards read his famous message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, something extraordinary began to occur. The fear of God fell. The congregants began to see themselves as hopelessly lost, dangling by a thread over the jumping fires of hell. It was a vivid sermon, yes, for sure. Soon there was so much screaming, crying out, and fainting that Edwards had to order them to be quiet so that his message could be heard. People began unconsciously to cling to their pews and grasp hold of the pillars of the church so as not to slip into hell. These were the days of the first great awakening in our land. I talked to a pastor in Connecticut, where Enfield is now located. He had done research on this in his master's thesis, I believe, while in seminary. And he told me that he read the accounts, went to the local library, and found some old accounts that for days after this sermon was preached, these were people casual, godless, or churched, but not knowing the Lord. What happened was, for days, because it was summertime, windows open in the homes, for days you could hear people moaning and crying in repentance in their homes. What you have to understand is that so many times we preach our hearts out, and we do our best to communicate the gospel, and it seems nothing happens. And I don't, for the most part, blame the people. I don't think if you were better listeners, you'd be changed. No, I ask myself, where's the power and the anointing in your own life, in your own preaching, in your own ministry? Why can people sit here and be so unaffected? When God's pouring out his spirit in times of revival, it changes dramatically. It changes radically. And what begins to happen is that word catches fire. Something happens in people's hearts, in their minds. And it's, look, we consider it long-term fruit if it lasts 15 minutes. You know, if by the time you leave the church service, you can remember the message and it has an impact on you that lasts through lunchtime, we think, wow, long-term fruit. How about people being touched and one generation later you can point back to the fruit? That's the work of the Holy Spirit in revival. And that's what we need here in America. Do you agree with me? Look, we have 24-hour gospel radio, 24-hour gospel TV. We've had Christian bestsellers for years. We have everything Christian, diet books that are Christian, gyms that are Christian, schools. But I mean, across society, we have the potential for pervasive influence, and yet it seems that rather than us changing the world's changing us. What's the need? Awakening, revival, quickening. I believe God wants to do that again in our generation. I believe he wants to shake this nation, beginning with a shaking of the church. We're going to talk about that more, talk about things that stand in the way and point us in the direction of holy visitation. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Back with more.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. The number to call, that's 866-348-7884. You may notice my voice sounds slightly different today. It's not because I've been traveling extensively. I'm strong and clear in spirit, mind, and voice, but apparently a thunderstorm has knocked a line out, and we are using a secondary means of communication, but I trust you can hear me loud and clear. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, AskDrBrown.org, talking about revival, awakening. When I see the state of much of the body today, friends, when I see the state of those that claim to be followers of Jesus coming out on the wrong side of moral issues. I'm not talking about voting Democrat, Republican. I'm not talking about what government plan gets funded or passed or not. I'm talking about basic moral issues. When I see so much of the body in a deep moral stupor, I realize we don't need only more teaching. Yeah, keep teaching the word. We don't need only more teaching. We don't need only new programs. We need visitation. We need a quickening. We need an awakening. And if you recognize that in your own life, doesn't it make sense to prioritize that? Doesn't it make sense to put that at the top of the list? And in Time for Holy Fire, I tell the story of Arthur Wallace as a boy going to Wales and hearing about what God did in Wales in 1904 and 1905 and the extraordinary changes that took place in a short period of time. And those changes then affected and touched believers around the world. And Arthur Wallace, just as a teenage boy, came back thinking if so much could happen in revival, if God could so visit and the fear of God could fall in some towns, and rugby was canceled. This was the national sport for a couple of years because people just lost interest. They were so consumed with God. And you think of that, he comes back and says, you know, doesn't it make sense if God can do so much in a short period of outpouring and revival? Doesn't it make sense to pursue God for outpouring revival? Yeah, while we do the daily things, daily discipleship, daily living out our faith in our home, in the place of business, of course we do all that. That never changes. But how about seeking God, make it a priority to say, oh, God, awaken me. Oh, God, awaken my family. Oh, God, awaken our church. I know so many church leaders, so many pastors. That's your cry. My brother, my sister, let me encourage you as you stand in leadership in the body, as you tell the flock, your friends, we need God, we need visitation, we need revival. They'll come along and follow because many of them recognize something is wrong, something is missing. Don't think you have to just prop something up every week and tell people everything's great because people know it's not all great and they're hungry and thirsty for more. And Jesus moving afresh in the midst of his people is the answer. Let me go to the phones. John in New York City, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, I'm hearing your message today, and sadly to say, in our time today, you're not going to have a revival. It ain't going to happen, and I'm going to give you all the reasons why I think it's not going to happen. With all the television, with all the radio, with everyone claiming to be a Christian, you ain't going to have a revival in this country. The number one problem is, I think, is people do not have the Holy Spirit. They do not pray. They don't spend time in prayer. They're not full with the Holy Spirit. They know the gospel. They sing the songs. They sing along with Chris Tomlin. But they're not full with the Holy Spirit. They never pray. They pray. They do their 10-minute prayers. So that's one, number one problem. Number two problem is in America today, the people that ought to be the preachers and the pastors are not. And the people that shouldn't be preachers and pastors are. And the problem you have so many people who are in the ministry that they don't belong there. They're better off working, you know, having a secular job. And the people who God calls them to do something, they're busy with life. They're busy with work. So it's very difficult for God to move in this kind of environment. And sadly to say, it's just not going to happen.
So John, let me ask you a question. Who goes to a doctor, a sick person or a healthy person?
Obviously, a sick person.
Right. And Jesus said he didn't come for the righteous, but for the sinners, because a doctor is for sick people. You just diagnosed why we have to have revival. In other words, because things are a mess, that's where revival can come. When you look at our history, John, we've had some dark periods. After the Revolutionary War in the late 1700s, there was massive backsliding. There was so much backsliding that surveys were done on some of our college campuses, and these were formed as Christian campuses. And on some of the campuses, they couldn't find a single person who was professing faith in Jesus. You had all kinds of clergy that weren't born again. You had people caught up with the spirit of the world. So no question about it, John. This is where revival has to happen, when we recognize things are wrong, when we recognize things are messed up, and that's where we go to God. So I want to encourage you that the darker it is, the more the light can shine. And there are a lot of people, John, all over New York City where you live, all over the nation, who are crying out to God for visitation, who are not looking just for church growth. They're not looking to get money in their pocket. They just want to see God move. And God is not deaf to the cries of his people.
Yes, people are hungry. I believe that people are hungry today more than ever. The problem is, where do you find this? I mean, I guarantee you, if somebody was offering, and helping people to find Christ and be free and then find this revival thing that you're talking about, they would travel anywhere. They would give up anything. The problem,
well, John, there's a website.
We don't see it. Tell me, what do you see it?
There's a website in New York. I'll tell you what, I just preached. I met with the pastor of Times Square Church Tuesday night in New York City, and I can assure you he is desperately hungry for revival and visitation in the city and the region. I preached at another leading church, Resurrection Church in Brooklyn, and people are hungry and thirsty and crying out to God for revival. I was with believers in Freeport, Long Island. And they're hungry and thirsty and crying out. And to a person, the leaders that I met with are hungry and thirsty and crying out and want God to move. And other congregations where I was, it's the same thing. I believe there's a lot of spiritual hunger, John, and I believe that's a sign that God is preparing to do something.
I don't see it, Mr. Brown. I would love to be to agree with you here, but I do not see it. You know what? When somebody is hungry, they're willing to do anything. They forget about houses, cars. If somebody's hungry today in a real sense and they have no food on the table, they'll travel. They'll do anything.
I understand. Well, there are people that are praying all night. There are people that are seeking the face of God all around America. There are young people in tears. There are 24-hour houses of prayer. People are hungry and thirsty, and I believe God's going to come. So listen, John, I got to run, but put your hope in God. Don't look at the failures that you see,
and you live out
the hunger you're talking about. Maybe God can send revival into your own life that can spread to others. All right?
There is somebody that I like to hear him preaching, and he's the greatest preacher in this country. His name is Jesus, and obviously we could always turn to that sermon.
All right, well, listen, you turn to his sermon, and you do what he says, because he says, whoever's hungry, let him come to me. Whoever's thirsty, let him come to me. So let me just give a word of encouragement, and I don't mind John expressing his concern and thinking nothing's going to happen and thinking it's too late. And thinking, it's America's too messed up. That's why we need revival. That's why it's not just a matter of an improved church program. And maybe you're in the midst of a place that's wonderfully healthy, real disciples being made, lives being radically changed, great outreach to the world, wonderful worship. Praise God. I'm excited with you. I'm excited for you. But perhaps there is more. Perhaps there's something deeper that God wants to do. Let me remind you of the promises. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That's Matthew 5, Psalm 107. God fills the hungry and satisfies the thirsty with good things. Revelation 22, whoever is thirsty, let him come and drink. These are promises of the Word. So if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, if you're desperate, don't turn that to frustration. Don't turn it to criticism. It's easy to throw stones at leaders. It's easy to criticize. It's easy to say this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong. What's not easy is to say, okay, I'm going to go after God and pray for blessing on these people. I'm going to go after God and cry out. I'm going to let the hunger in my heart, which can be frustrating and difficult and painful, I'm going to let that turn to passion. One of the hindrances to revival is that we don't have room for God. Another one is that we get discouraged along the way. What I want to encourage you to do is press in and take hold and not let go until the answer comes. Look, as I just got off the phone, New York City, 1857, a great prayer awakening began in New York City and went across the country, and then people took it back over to Ireland and Wales and things like that. And it began with a retired businessman, missionary on the streets, just burdened, Jeremiah Lamphere, started praying. Something happened.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're talking about revival, talking about awakening. Listen to what John Hyde said. I'm quoting from the book Time for Holy Fire. The disciples were then at Pentecost, shut up to prayer. And can anyone say what would happen now if God's church should give herself up to the same resource? It was 100-plus years ago he saw God move mightily in India. How about some of these warnings from wise men of God from the past? I believe that what the world needs just now is not so much the multiplication of organization as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have piles of organization, but they lie prone upon the earth, incorporated death. We have got organizations enough to revolutionize the race. It is not more schemes we want, more associations, more meetings. We want the breath and fire of the Holy Ghost. A small organization with breath in it can do the work of an army. We may be so intent upon committees that we have not time for the upper room. We may be so public that we forget the secret place. We may be so absorbed in devising machinery and careless about the power which is to make it go. That is our peril. I know it. I feel it. Just a reminder before I go back to the phones, special resource offer today, my book Time for Holy Fire, Preparing the Way for Divine Visitation, and End of the American Gospel Enterprise, the two books I've written which are most designed to help awaken hearts and give a vision for revival and outpouring. You can get the two at a reduced price by calling 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Okay, back to the phones. Sharon in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, I just want to say that my heart leaps for joy in hearing the things that you've been saying in the last several minutes since I've been listening to you. I just thank our Lord in hearing that because God moved in my heart several years ago to start praying for an awakening in our country, for him to pour out his spirit in our country, for us to have a moving of the fire and the power and the beauty of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we need it so much. I truly believe that the Church of Laodicea describes so many of our churches in this day and time, and especially here in America.
Yes, ma'am.
Because we get to hear this incredible teaching from God's holy word. And yet, for some reason, our lives go on the same day after day, and we put the same things as our priority as we did the day before we heard this wonderful message from God's word. And that blows my mind, because God is speaking so clearly, and yet it's, as one of my dear brothers in Christ said, Adrian Rogers, from whom I've learned a lot, he said it's like God trying to wake us up, and we roll over. I may not have it verbatim as he put it, but this is the idea. We roll over and kind of yawn and decide, oh, I just want to go back to sleep, and kind of brush God off and go, you know, just close our eyes again and go right back to sleep.
Yeah. You know, Sharon, it's one of the symptoms of someone who's sleeping that you don't know you're sleeping. And then sometimes we dream that
exactly.
We're doing things and,
yes.
And we're still actually sleeping.
That's
why awakening has to come.
Idea.
That's why we have to get stirred afresh. But here's the good
you're
news.
Right.
Yeah, it's true that much of the Church of North America is very much Laodicean. You say, I'm rich, increased in wealth, and I've need of nothing. Don't realize you're wretched, pitiful,
yeah.
Poor, blind, and naked. But the good news is, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. The good news is that Jesus gives an invitation to buy from him gold tried in the fire so they can be rich, and eyes salve for their eyes so they can see again. So I'm very encouraged that more and more people recognize the desperate situation that we're in. And it's out of that desperation, when we get to the point where Jacob was, when we get to the point where Jacob was.
I can't let you go,
because to let you go is to die. I can't let you go till you bless me. Yeah. It's frustrating to the flesh because we're not in control, but it's the place we need to be. And God, Sharon, will respond with fire to those with hunger and thirst and desire. He will satisfy the longing of his people. And remember, he's also jealous for the reputation of Jesus in America. Keep praying, Sharon. Keep pressing in. I've got to run.
And thank you for pressing the verse about hungering and thirsting after his righteousness.
Oh, that's everything, isn't it?
I gave that to me, too, and I just keep on because he put it in my heart.
It's the only hope that God...
I
got to run, but thank you for calling, Sharon. God bless you. Thanks so much. Hey, friends, we are just about out of time. I am an eyewitness. I was in the midst of an outpouring in Florida that lasted the better part of 5 years. And for several years during that time, friends, as an eyewitness, I'm telling you this, people lined up more than 12 hours before the service started, just for the doors to open a further hour before the service started. So they'd line up 13 hours before the service started. And they used to get online even earlier, and we had to tell them we can't get security there to make sure everybody's okay before 6 in the morning. It's for services that started at 7 at night. They came from around the world, hungry, thirsty. Why? Because they heard that God was moving. They heard that something was happening, that Jesus was really changing lives. Unsaved people came and got saved standing in the parking lot before they came in the building. Some of the people touched in the parking lot are now missionaries today serving God around the world, or they've served as missionaries around the world. I'm talking about bona fide outpouring. It can look different in every different place, but this much I know, it can start in my heart or your heart as we go after God. Don't worry, just like if you're overweight, you're not going to lose 50 pounds in a day. Don't worry about everything changing in a moment. Do what the scripture says. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. If you've never visited my website, askdrbrown.org, go there and click on online resources, and you will be blessed by revival messages that you can listen to by the hour for free that'll stir you. You can take my online course, very inexpensive, for more than 12 hours of teaching on principles of revival. We even pray and cry out together with our students for revival. Join us on that course. That's all on the website, askdrbrown.org. And then our special revival resource package, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, Time for Holy Fire, which you can purchase by calling 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. And remember to visit on Amazon, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Lots of bogus, false reviews are being posted. The way to expose them is by saying they're unhelpful. That's what people really see. If you're going to post untruths there, they'll be exposed. If you have the book, get time. Write a review. It can be short, but put your thoughts up there. If you don't have the book, order it on Amazon.com, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Here's my bottom line. Revival is not needed when everything is wonderful. Revival is not needed when the fire is burning. Revival is not needed when we are living in our first love, but revival is needed when we've fallen away, when we've backslidden, when coldness has come in, when we become worldly, lethargic, discouraged, backslidden. That's when we need fresh fire. That's when we need a fresh touch from God. And God will fill the hungry, the thirsty, who long for him, cry out to him, put their trust in him. Hold on, the fire will fall.
The greatest need in America today is not economic, it is not political, it is spiritual. The greatest need in America is a fresh awakening in the church.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are focusing on a word that has been very precious to me for many years, a word that motivates much of what I do and informs much of what I do. That word is revival. That word is awakening. We're talking about not a series of special meetings, not some emotional hope or emotional hype, I should say. We're talking about God stirring the hearts of his people with an unusual season of divine visitation that is so profound, so radical, so real, that it literally awakens a sleeping church, and that same spirit is poured out in the society and even affects the world. Do you believe it's too late for awakening in America? Do you see signs that awakening could be coming? Are you personally burdened to pray for a fresh move of God? And what gets in the way and stops God from moving? What is it that we are doing to not cooperate with him? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org, or our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. There are two resources I'm going to be talking about through the program, Time for Holy Fire and End of the American Gospel Enterprise, the two books that I've written that are most designed to help spark awakening in the lives of individual believers and in the life of the church itself. And I want to say this plainly. I am part of the body. I am a lover of the body. I am a fellow leader and fellow servant. In other words, I'm not out to bash anyone or to criticize anyone or to put down anyone as much as I am out to expose our need to show bankruptcy or lack while it's there so that we will take hold of God. We will recognize our need. Look, you love someone and you see that they're getting frail, they're losing weight, they can hardly breathe, they can't function at work. You say, what's the matter? Well, oh, I don't think anything's the matter. Say, no, something's the matter. You need to go to the doctor. You're showing them what's wrong so that they will cry out to God, or in this case, go to the doctor to get cared for. We're talking about recognizing what's wrong, recognizing we've departed from our first love, or we've departed from biblical standards, or we've departed from passion, holiness, desire to touch the world, love to share the gospel, loving that which is good, hating that which is bad. We've departed from that and just either got caught up with churchianity or with religious ritual, or maybe we're just discouraged and we've lost hope. That's the one to whom the promise of revival comes. So let me lay out my terms, what I'm talking about. This is how I define it. Revival is a season of unusual divine visitation, resulting in deep repentance, supernatural renewal, and sweeping reformation in the church, along with the radical conversion of sinners in the world, often producing moral, social, and even economic change in the local or national communities. Yeah, I'm concerned with what the world does. Yeah, I'm concerned with the sin of sinners, but I'm more concerned with what the church is, with our lack. Because, look, if the light shines brightly, that'll take care of the darkness. If the righteous live righteously by the grace and power of God, a witness for Jesus will be there in society. We will be a moral conscience. We will be a moral preservative. We will be a place of deliverance and freedom. But if we are bound, how can we liberate others? If the light within us is darkness, as Jesus said, how great is that darkness? So we're going to focus on revival, and I trust encourage and stir your hearts today. Number to call to weigh in, 866-34-TRUTH. When I come back, I want to read a prayer written by a hymn writer and biblical scholar, Edwin Hatch, about the breath of God. And I want to encourage you that no matter where you are, no matter what your spiritual state is, it's not too late for revival. Back with more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What is the greatest need in America today? Is it political? No. Economic? No. Social? No. Military? No. Spiritual. It's spiritual. And because it's spiritual, it's also moral. The greatest need is awakening in the church. Because if the salt loses its saltiness, it's of no use. And if the light within the nation is dark, the darkness is great. That's the great need, awakening in the church. What is the greatest moral crisis in America? My opinion, it is lack of the consciousness of God. Lack of the consciousness of God. If we were a God-conscious people, I'm not talking about some religious condemnation, negative stuff where you're constantly everybody's religious police. No, I'm talking about being conscious of God, aware of who he is, aware of his reality. If we were God-conscious people, friends, we'd live differently. The church would look different. The world would look different. 866-34-TRUTH. Glad to have you with us on The Line of Fire, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. And that all begins with awakening. Online, askdrbrown.org. Before I go to the phones, prayer, hymn from biblical scholar Edwin Hatch, old one. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I have one will to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Boy, I'm praying that as I'm reading it, and it is convicting me. I'm sure you could find that online. I'm quoting it from my book, Time for Holy Fire. Isn't that, in essence, in short, in summary, what we really need? 866-34-TRUTH. Dr. Dutz calling from Brooklyn, where I just was, Resurrection Church over this weekend. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
It's such a pleasure to listen to you. I've been listening to you for quite a while. We really appreciate your teachings and your theology. And I would like to know when, and I also like to say to you, yes, revival is possible today because the Holy Spirit is looking for hearts that are ready, willing, and able to seek him, to seek God's face so we can burn the city down for God.
Mm. And when you say burn the city down for God, you're using a figure of speech. Tell me what that looks like spiritually. What does that actually translate out to in your mind?
Spiritually, we look at the Spirit of God is burning our heart. Just like in Luke 24, when the resurrected Jesus was speaking to the two disciples, and after explaining the Word of God, their heart burned. So the same way the Holy Spirit will burn our heart, burn our spirit, burn the sense, the core sense in our conscience, so we can turn back and seek God as we should.
Yeah, you know, you speak of the Spirit burning those things in our heart. I preached my second service at Resurrection Church in Brooklyn, New York, this past Sunday. There was a 10 a.m. and 12:15 service, so the themes were related to spiritual hunger, prayer, awakening, but I used different texts, and the text has been on my mind a lot lately. In 1 Kings 18, when Elijah confronted the nation of Israel, they were supposed to be Yahweh worshipers, but they were worshiping Baal. So what happened? He says, how long are you going to lean on two different supports, shift between two opinions? If Yahweh is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. And the people don't answer a word. There is that moral stupor, that moral paralysis. And you talk to people today, and they look you right in the eyes, and you say, look, is this right or wrong? And the general response is, whatever. Because we've fallen asleep morally, and even within the church, some of us outwardly recognize what's right or wrong, but that real conviction isn't there. So the revival has to start within us. You're absolutely right. And when it burns within us, it can then spread to others as well. What makes you confident? I share this confidence, but what makes you confident, sir, that we can see another true awakening in America?
well, it's because the risen Jesus have not changed. He has not changed.
Uh-huh.
Because he said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And then he's just looking for believers who's just ready and obedient to seek his face. And then he's going to use us as mighty warriors to bring souls. Because I what I've been speaking in my ministry in Brooklyn is that souls are dying by mass all over the world. I'm from Haiti. You saw how many people died in Haiti, in Japan, and all over the world. So souls are dying by mass. So now we figured we need to reach out to souls, and we need to win them by millions. That's the message.
Yeah, you know, and I appreciate the call. Thank you so much for weighing in, and may God continue to burn bright in your own heart there in New York City. Jesus is Lord. Yeah, there's a lot of discouraging things when you look around the world. There are a lot of discouraging things when you look in the church. There are a lot of discouraging things sometimes when you look at your own life. But Jesus is Lord. God our Father sits enthroned. And I know many of you could quote verses about the last days and the end times, and I'm going to talk about that on the broadcast tomorrow, in fact, sorting out end time theologies and eschatologies. I'm going to be as practical as I can. But let me say this. How about Acts chapter 2? In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Isn't that a promise for us as well? Isn't there a promise for us as well that God is going to pour out his spirit in the last days, these days in which we have been living since Jesus died and rose from the dead? If there was a great move of God in Jerusalem in the first century, and there have been great moves of God century after century around the world, and if more people came to faith in Jesus around the world in the 20th century than any other century in world history, and the numbers continued to increase around the world, in the Hindu world, in the Muslim world, in the atheistic world, and in other sectors of society, why shouldn't we expect that God could move? Yeah, we're in a mess. We're in a big mess. That's why we need awakening and revival. Yeah, day by day, we live out our lives obediently. You know, you witness to your neighbor and reach out with word of kindness to your boss at work and seek to be a shining light on your campus and in your community. When you're talking to the other moms, you look for opportunities to share the gospel and you pray for people. Yeah, one day at a time, we live our lives, we pay our bills, we're responsible people, we serve our community. But at the same time, we recognize there's got to be more. If you're willing to live with hunger and thirst, if you're willing to be uncomfortable for a while and perhaps empty your life out of some of the distractions and hindrances, perhaps you could really see something happen beginning in you. 866-34-TRUTH. Rika in Bradenton, Florida, what's your take about lack of revival in the body today?
Shalom, Dr. Brown. Well, it is for me pretty simple. I believe that we are in a time of the church really is lukewarm. The body of the Messiah, the body of Yeshua, which you call also Christ, really has not really cried yet to the Lord. You just finished to say, and I will quote, that we are trying to speak to our neighbors, to give our testimonies, to bring the good news. We're praying, we're loving God, we love each other, but we have not cried from the bottom of our heart to the Lord Yeshua. And I believe God is not that he doesn't hear us. He's there. He's just quiet. He's just watching. And I think a revival is going to take place. But when we start to truly cry to him on behalf, not on our behalf, on our neighbor's behalf, our
yes.
children, that is really when we're going to feel and really God's working and movement much faster. That is what I believe.
Yes, and Rika, you have the scriptures behind you, because the word says the righteous cry out and the Lord hears. And many, many promises in the word that come only to the hungry and the thirsty. And even the example of our forefather, Jacob, Yaakov, that when he came to that point of desperation and said, I can't let you go, I won't let you go until you bless me, that's when his life was changed. And many times, even though the situation around us is desperate, we are not desperate. When we get to that place of holy desperation, breakthroughs will come, and God will hear the cry of his people. Hey, thank you for calling in and continue to press into the Lord, my sister. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to remind you of these two resources, Time for Holy Fire, End of the American Gospel Enterprise, books that will really light a fresh fire in your life. They'll ignite something. They'll get your heart burning and cause you to go after God and give you hope of what he can do. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978 to get this revival package today. Back with more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire as we put our focus on repentance, revival, awakening, outpouring, God stirring the people of God so we become what he's called us to be. God burning afresh in our hearts and lives so that society's impacted, the Spirit being poured out on dry and thirsty land. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A little later in the program, I want to share one of my favorite stories from revival. But what gets in the way? Here, let's think about this together. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 to weigh in, AskDrBrown.org. What gets in the way? If we recognize that there is more that God has for us, if we recognize something's wrong, something's missing, God didn't intend for the church to be a reproach or a laughingstock. God didn't intend for us to be known for scandals or greed, or he intended for us to be known as shining lights. Oh, but hated by the world the way Jesus was hated, but he intended for us to be something different. If we recognize that there's more, if we recognize something's missing, if we recognize that more of the same is only going to produce more of the same, you know, the same ritual, the same routine, done the same way is going to produce the same results, why is it that we don't stop the ritual, stop the routine, and get hold of God? Why is it that we don't stop and seek him earnestly and say, okay, I've got to make room, I've got to find time? We all know the account of the birth of Jesus, and he's born in the manger because there's no room in the inn. Could that be the case with many of our lives? We're so full of this life, and when we have some spare time, it's wasted in front of TV or wasted social networking or wasted with some worthless movie or wasted just with endlessly surfing the net or whatever our time waster is. I believe there's time for rest. I believe Psalm 127, God gives his beloved rest. But could it be that when we have the time, we're not using it? Could it be that we're not hungry enough to make the time? If this was really important to us, if we really believed that God would hear our cry, if we really believed that if we sought him, something would change, why don't we seek him? 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, let me read one little account to you, and then I'll share some more revival accounts in the next hour. And I am an eyewitness to outpouring in modern times. I had the privilege of serving in Pensacola, Florida, in what some church historians call the longest local church revival in American history. And we're not talking about hype or silliness or bizarre outward displays. We're talking about Jesus changing lives. We're talking about repentance. We're talking about sinners getting radically saved and backsliders getting radically turned around and believers getting radically reignited or their lives purged. And some of these people who were touched 15 years ago or serving God on the mission field or church planting and living holy, godly lives today. But check out this account. In 1825, Charles Finney was ministering in the town of New York Mills. His brother-in-law invited him to visit the local cotton factory of which he was in charge. When Finney, who was known for his preaching in the area, entered the factory, his glance fell upon a girl who had made a jestful comment to her friend. The evangelist describes what happened next. When I came within 8 or 10 feet of her, I looked solemnly at her. She observed it and was quite overcome and sank down and burst into tears. The impression caught almost like powder, meaning gunpowder, and in a few moments, all the room were in tears. The feeling spread through the factory. The owner said to the superintendent, stop the mill and let the people attend to religion. For it is more important that a soul should be saved and that this factory should run. The revival went through the mill with astonishing power, and in a few days, nearly all were converted. I have that account in my book, End of the American Gospel Enterprise. By the way, just found out from our order department that they decided to reduce the price of these two books, so it's a great deal to get hold of great resources that will stir your heart, build your faith, challenge your life on revival. 1-800-278-9978, the number to call for that. Okay, Dale in St. Petersburg, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
My quick comment is, one of the major problems that I see is facing the church today is we've changed the message from go ye to y'all come. We've gotten very fat and lazy in our padded pews and our multimedia systems and our church socials, and I think that's really destroying ourselves from within. And I'll hang up and listen to your comment. God bless you.
Sure. Dale, my comment is spot on, right on. I don't think anyone could really argue with that. Yeah, it's one thing if in going out into the world we encourage people to come in and be with us and be in our services and experience God together with us and meet others in the family of God and hear the gospel preached. But for the most part, you're right. We have become what Martin Luther King said many years ago, that if we lost our moral authority, that we'd become an irrelevant social club. And I say this as a friend of the church, as a fellow leader, fellow servant. I want to encourage pastors, leaders listening, just to ask yourself this question. I know the pressures you're under. Trust me, being in ministry these decades, I understand the pressure that you're under. Or right here, we in our ministry base, we have a congregation of about 500 people and a missions organization and a ministry school. So we live with this day and night. Even though I myself am not a pastor, this is all done by our leadership team here. I'm not saying this to bash, but I wonder, are we more concerned about getting people into our meeting than having the presence of God in our meeting to change those people? Or are we more concerned with having people happy than going out, touching the lost and dying and seeing them changed? Have we put more emphasis on programs or snappy ways of doing things or the slickest multimedia presentation or the finest architecture or whatever the thing is, and not put an emphasis on meeting with God and communing with God and hearing from God and bringing his word? Could it be that with the pressures of ministry and the pressures of finance and the pressures of all the people hurting that are all expecting you or your ministry team to be saviors to them somehow, could it be that the fire has gone out in your own lives as well? I know many times, I can say this, in fact, without reservation, the single greatest challenge in my life is not doing effective radio shows, it is not writing good books, it is not preaching well, it is not teaching well. It is not debating well. No. The greatest single challenge in my life is maintaining deep, focused, spiritual vibrancy, putting communion with God, intimacy with God, deep fellowship in his word and prayer, putting that first before ministry activity. That, for many, many years, has been my greatest challenge, and by God's grace, as I press in and take hold of him, my greatest joy. Perhaps if we put first things first, all of us, the world would look a lot different. 866-34-TRUTH. Charles in Atlanta, hang on. I will get to you right after the break. Also want to give you another fascinating update before the program is out on the latest bashing book reviews by non-readers on A Queer Thing Happened to America on Amazon.com. Yeah, I know what's happening in the world, happening in Israel, bombings, Middle East, riots still, confusion in America, lots of shaking all around. What's the key? The church, the people of God, the believers having a fresh encounter with Jesus. And as they are changed, then society around us will be changed. The problem is not the presence of darkness. The problem is the absence of light.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us today as we focus in on revival, awakening, as we focus in on how to get the light within America shining brightly, how to recover passion that's been lost, hunger, thirst, purity that's been lost, awakening. We're not talking about a series of special meetings. When I lived in Pensacola 7 years, people would talk about we're holding a revival next week, visiting pastors, evangelists. We're holding a revival next week. We've got a revival scheduled for next month. And I would tell them, and coming from the north, you know, New York area, we don't talk like that. It's more of a southern kind of thing, an American thing in general. And I'd say every week, friends, because we're in the midst of bona fide outpouring revival, I'd say, friends, you can no more hold a revival than you can hold an earthquake. You can no more schedule a revival than you can schedule a hurricane. Revival is not something man works up. Revival is something God sends down. And revival, fresh awakening in the church, is the great pressing need today. Why don't we see it? What's standing in the way? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, ask Dr. Brown on the Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown. And we've got two important books at a radically reduced price we want to get in your hands today, a resource package on revival. I'll tell you more about that as the program goes on. When I taught on revival through the years, in fact, you can take my class online on revival by going to AskDrBrown.org. If you're a monthly torchbearer, you get the class for free. But I thought, you know, I need to come up with my own definition of revival, because people would describe it as God stepping down from heaven or a new beginning in God. Charles Finney said a revival consists in the return of the church from her backslidings and then the conversion of sinners. And I thought, okay, I need to formulate a definition. So it's not catchy, it's not cute, but it's been my working definition for some years. So let me share it with you again. Revival, this is what I'm talking about, how I am using the term. Revival as a season of unusual divine visitation, resulting in deep repentance, supernatural renewal, and sweeping reformation in the church, along with the radical conversion of sinners in the world, often producing moral, social, and even economic change in the local or national communities. And Finney said that revival presupposes declension, in other words, backsliding. A revival presupposes that the church is sunk down in a backslidden state, and a revival consists in the return of the church from her backslidings and in the conversion of sinners. So before you go in to the heart surgeon, you have to recognize something is wrong with your heart, correct? You don't go to the heart surgeon when, you know, you're 25 years old and just ran a marathon and you're doing great. You're the heart surgeon when you doctors have told you, okay, you're in very, very serious condition, and without surgery, you could die any day from the condition of your heart and your arteries. That's when you go to a heart surgeon. Many times we get so used to our spiritual condition, we don't have a way to evaluate it. Like, we can evaluate our weight. We can get on a scale. We can see how clothes are fitting. We can evaluate our income. You know, we look, do we have any money in the bank? What bills do we have to pay? What money's coming in? We can evaluate lots of things. You can see how your business is doing. You can look at income versus expense. There are things you can evaluate. You can just look at your general appearance. Is my hair getting gray? You know, things like that. But sometimes spiritually we can deceive ourselves. Our measuring rod is adjustable. Sometimes we judge others for something and then excuse ourselves. Sometimes we hate sin in others and ignore it in our own lives. Sometimes we forget where we once were. That's why Jesus says to the congregation in Ephesus, the believers in Ephesus in Revelation 2, remember the height from which you've fallen. Perhaps as I talk to you during this broadcast, God's going to remind you of some of the things that you once had in God that you've lost. Don't be discouraged. Don't quit. That's God lovingly saying, draw near to me. Come back, and I will draw near to you. 866-34-TRUTH. Your heart will be stirred today.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Revival, awakening. We've heard about it in the past. Some of us have seen it in different parts of the world. Some of us have even seen it in America. Is it too late to expect another awakening in America? Have we gone too far? Does your end-time theology say it won't happen? Or are the promises and mercies of God new every morning? 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. If you haven't been to my website, friends, click on the free online resources, because we have dozens and dozens of messages that you can listen to for free on revival and articles you can read. One great thing about internet is you can put a lot of free stuff up there, and our website serves as a resource for you. So when you go there, make sure you sign up for our e-blast. This way we can keep you posted on new things happening. I'm doing a live webcast tomorrow night from Phoenix. You can tune in and watch online. I believe it's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard, but again, info on the website. We just did an e-blast about that. So we want to serve, help every way that we can. Charles in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Brown. What I was wondering about is, even if there were revivals, how would people know the difference between what's considered a classic revival that took place several times in the United States? One took place in England, Welsh, of 1906. And there are certain, indications of what happens during a revival that signifies it's really of the Holy Spirit. And there are other revivals that have been very questionable in the country in the last 15, 20 years. One of them was Brownsville. And everything that happened there was really not considered a classic revival at all.
Now, Charles, how many of the meetings were you at in Brownsville?
Pardon me?
How many of the meetings in Brownsville did you personally attend, just out of curiosity?
I didn't attend any of them.
Ah, because I was in more than 800 services there, and it had all the earmarks of classic revival, which are, first, a deep sense of the presence of God, which leads then to deep, deep conviction of sin, which then leads to radical repentance, which then leads to backsliders turning around, believers getting freshly ignited, turning away from sin, getting freshly devoted to the Word and holy living, and then sinners getting radically saved, and then going on serving the Lord for many, many years now. So, you know, I know we always hear reports about different places. You know, I may have heard reports about a church you go to or another ministry. So I always try to base things on first-hand information as much as I can. But
can I ask you something?
Go ahead.
I don't want to get in an argument. I'm not here to argue. But if you'll get the book by R.A. Torrey, it's called Power-Filled Living, and read pages, say, 241 to 243. There is a description of a visitation of God in the church up there when they were praying, about 100 ministers at the Chicago Avenue Church back in the late 19th century. And what the things that happened there is a description of more of a localized classic revival. But when I say classic revivals, I'm talking about revivals that sweep the country, you know, revivals that are geographical. And people can just walk into that geographical area, and they fall under conviction of sin a lot of times. This happened in New York during the founding of the country, where sailors would come, and there was preaching and everything going on.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I document a lot of those accounts in my book, Time for Holy Fire. In particular, after the prayer revival in 1857 to 58, there were ships that pulled up. Many ships pulled up and nothing happened, but there were ships that came into port, and the sailors were already under conviction because they came into that kind of God zone. But you know what's interesting, though, Charles, is, and so ultimately what you have to do is the biggest issue is the biblical description, because there have been so many outpourings around the world. One in China may look different from one in Korea, and one in Korea may look different from one in Canada, may look different from one in America. So I don't ultimately want to measure things by that. What I want to look at is the lasting fruit. And if people are becoming deeply devoted to the Jesus of the Scriptures, and their lives are radically changed in that way, if they are then coming under the authority of the Word of God, turning from sin having a burden to touch a lost and dying world. And you see this happen with intensity. You see this happen with unusual frequency. And you see it happening in a way that's beyond anything a human being can do. And we're not talking about working people up emotionally. We're talking about, you know, through the spirit working, through the word. That's what I look at. Those are the things that have the marks of revival. And by the way, we did have people saved, Charles, driving by the building where the meetings were happening in Brownsville, where the presence of God suddenly fell in their car. Lost people. They became members of the church. That's how we heard their story. Lost sinners who had no interest in God, and the presence of God fell as they drove by. They began to weep in their cars and got saved. We had people many times would leave the meeting thinking, I was expecting more, and go to the hotel room and be visited, and actually they'd get out of their cars and collapse in the parking lot, overcome by the Spirit, and people would have to help them in the building. These kind of things happen, and we birthed a school out of that, which continues to this day. That's Fire School of Ministry. And missionaries continue to be sent out from the school around the world. So that's the kind of thing we look for. That being said, Charles, I'm absolutely with you to say that what we saw in Brownsville was not enough, that anything I see happening in America right now is not enough. We want to see more. And the only we can't work it up. We can't try to produce it. There's never been a perfect revival. What we tend to do with past moves is we tend to sanitize them, and then current moves we often demonize. But the fact is, there's never been a perfect move. There was a prayer of a Scottish believer that John Wesley quoted, which is, Lord, do the work you did before, but do it without the defects this time. But if that's not possible, do it again, defects and all. We absolutely need an awakening in our nation, and I don't believe it's going to be confined to any one church or group. In that sense, we need a nationwide outpouring of prayer.
Just want to say one quick thing, though. In the Welsh Revival in 1906, a woman wrote a book. Her name was Jessie Penn Lewis.
I'm thoroughly familiar with it.
Okay, and she
War Against the Saints, sure.
Yeah, and Evan Roberts also said, you know, that in his recount of it, that during a revival, real revival, you have the working of the enemy as well as the working of God.
Absolutely.
This is also true in the pages in that book I referred you to, Power Filled Living by R.A. Torrey.
Yeah, that's why we can't put our emphasis on an outward display. We can't put our emphasis on emotion. We can't put our emphasis on a supernatural sign. We have to put our emphasis on an encounter with God that produces radical, lasting change in individual lives. That's what I live for. That's what I burn for. So I think in that we are in sync, and I hate the counterfeit. I reject the emotional display, the human hype, the idea that we can just produce it with the right ingredients or the right band or speaker or whatever. That's just so superficial. This is something that God does burning in the hearts of his people, but it begins with each of us individually. So while we pray for something greater that'll be poured out across the country, you know, my concern is my own life to be ablaze for God. But hey, Charles, thanks for weighing in. I appreciate the fact that we could have a candid discussion. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, Duncan Campbell said this. He was a leader in the Hebrides revival from 1949 to 1952, small islands off the coast of Scotland. And he seconded the remarks of Arthur Wallace, who wrote a great book on revival in the Day of Thy Power. And I quote extensively from Arthur Wallace and Duncan Campbell in these two books of mine, End of the American Gospel Enterprise and Time for Holy Fire. And Arthur Wallace said this, Duncan Campbell seconded it. If something claims to be a revival and is not spoken against, see again to see whether it's really a revival. Do you know what one of the most respected church leaders said about the Welsh revival? And this is 1904, 1905, primarily through Evan Roberts. You know what he said? He called it a blasphemous travesty of the real thing. Do you know the Great Awakening in the days of Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield, that there was hot resistance to that, and many, many people criticized. In fact, Charles Chauncey, who was a great critic of the revival, some said his books outsold Edwards' books in the midst of it. However, here's the difference. Chauncey focused on the chaff. Edwards focused on the wheat. We must be careful to focus on what God is doing first and foremost. All right, Listen to how you can get these special resources in your hands. I think you really will be blessed.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are focused on something that I have been focused on for many, many years, revival, awakening, God stirring his people so the nation is shaken. And friends, we don't have any alternative. America is stuck in such a moral stupor, and so much of the church is stuck in moral compromise. We don't have an option. We can't deceive ourselves by thinking another new program is going to do it, another new effort is going to do it. We need God. We need God in a fresh way. You say, well, we have God. Yeah, Jesus, by his Spirit, lives within every one of us as believers. His body as a whole is a temple of the Spirit. When we gather together, there is that unique presence. But remember what he says to Laodicea. You say, I'm rich, increased in wealth, have need of nothing, don't realize you're naked. Wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. This was believers. And he said, I'm standing at the door and knocking. Something was missing. There was a distinct sense where his presence wasn't there. Remember that in Acts chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit was poured out, we now have Acts chapter 4 where they pray again and the Holy Spirit is poured out and the building is shaken. We're not talking about emotional high. We're talking about God visiting us in such a way that Jesus becomes our all in all. 866-34-TRUTH. When God used Duncan Campbell in the Hebrides Islands, there was great outpouring. These very traditional Scottish folks that were very wary of hype or anything like that, and God, in very sovereign ways, began to move. They went to another area, and they had their meeting, and the people were hostile, bitter, didn't come to the meeting for the most part. It was dead. It was dry. One of the men said, let's go over to a house and keep praying. So Duncan Campbell and the local men went over to this little granite house and prayed. And they prayed till about midnight. At midnight, the blacksmith began to pray. Campbell asked him to pray, and he prayed for half an hour. And after a half hour in prayer, which is a long time, he said, God, you promised to pour out water on the thirsty land, and you're not doing it. This had become a covenant promise to them. You promised to pour out water on the thirsty land, and you're not doing it. He paused and said, God, don't you know that your honor is at stake? He paused again. And then he said, I challenge you to keep your covenant promises. And to their shock, the house shook like a leaf. Campbell immediately thought of Acts 4:31. When they prayed, the place was shaken. They stayed on their face till 2, 3 in the morning, got up to go to their homes, and to their shock again, lights are on in every home. People are out of their beds crying to God for mercy, getting out, walking down the street, asking, when is the church building open, saying, is there a place of mercy for me? What happened? God came. We need a visitation, friends. We need God to come. I believe he will. I believe there's hunger, there's thirst, there's stirring. I'm committed to being a day-by-day disciple, doing what I know how to do, living responsibly, reaching out, planting seeds, watering those seeds. And I'm also committed to praying for the fire to fall until God visits. It is the only hope of the nation. All right, I've got a few more things I want to share with you before the broadcast is out. Let me grab one more call. Michael in Little Rock, Arkansas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, Dr. Brown, you're talking about revival. We've got a revival going on here in Little Rock right now. And it's a big thing going on. There's people, it's not even considered a charismatic church, and people are getting up and just being filled with the Spirit and going forward, and it's been great. Like, it's been lasting probably like 2 or 3, maybe 4 hours sometimes beyond the normal set times every night this past week, and it's continuing this week. And I guess what I was wanting to ask you was, during the course of this time, it's been so great and everything that it gets to the point where it's like really exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you say to go forth without getting so tired and just keeping the fire alive and not letting it be quenched?
Yeah, there is a certain exhaustion that comes with meetings day and night. I was part of that for several years and did get exhausted by the end of it and was often exhausted in the midst of it. I would remind you, though, that you're not propping anything up, that you can't feel a weight with it, and that you just have to ask God day by day for strength. that you want to prioritize this. You don't want to let the flame go out in terms of being irresponsible or taking it for granted. You want to keep your focus on Jesus and on people being touched and on the lost being saved. You want to pour out what's being poured in as God's people are being renewed and the lost are being touched. You want to keep your focus on holiness and harvest. But then you also have to realize, okay, there is a time of rest. And you have to cut out everything else that doesn't belong outside of the daily essentials and the meetings, and cut out everything else that doesn't belong. And if you ever need to take a night off or take a rest, it's not the end of the world. But there's a jealousy for more. Beyond that, I can just say enjoy the ride while you have it. Maybe another day we can chat more. I'm just looking at the clock, and we are about out of time. But don't let the flame go out. On the flip side, remember, you are not propping this up on your own shoulders. And there may be some tiredness, but trust God for renewal in the midst of it, all right?
Okay, thank you.
All right, God bless. Well, that is good to hear, and I'm sure there are many places where God is moving. Friends, I want to encourage you that we are really seeing the moral battle being lived out right here on the Line of Fire, and with my new book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Bogus reviews from non-readers continue to appear on Amazon.com. Here are some of the latest Christianist lies. This is the religious handbook on how to get away with homophobia. There is no justification for this book. Poorly researched, affirming mythical stereotypes, poorly formulated arguments. What's the opposite of scholarly? Fact-free and insulting, but what did you expect? A bigot's guide to excusing bigotry. Bigotry again, waste of money. Misinformed propaganda at its worst. Complete garbage. This is from the people not reading the book. They're posting these things. And, of course, those who are reading the book are posting something very, very different with almost no exception. So I want to encourage you, for the sake of truth and to help the many that go to Amazon and look at these reviews, go to Amazon.com. Won't cost you a penny. Go to Amazon.com and click on these reviews. If you find them unhelpful, let that be known. If you find a review helpful by someone who's actually read the book, click that. Let it be known. There are comments where you can get involved. Make sure you do it in a gracious way if you're seeking to speak for the Lord. If you have the book and haven't written a review, I encourage you to do so. Get online, go ahead, and write a review, and that will help others that look there at the website and want to find out more about the book. And if you don't have the book, by all means, get a copy of it on Amazon.com, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Just heard from an educator who said this has to be in every educator's arsenal. Just heard from another pastor and leader who said this is the book we have to get out. So get hold of it if you haven't. Go online, write your review, comment on the current reviews that are there. And the resources we've mentioned, books, I tell you, these things burned in my heart as I wrote them, and we've reduced the price to make it just about two books for the price of one, End of the American Gospel Enterprise, Time for Holy Fire, the two best books I have written that will help ignite a fresh fire in your own life and help you search your life to look for God to move afresh and encourage you as to what he can do. You can get those by calling 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. And if you can stand with us in any way, that would be awesome. Here is my bottom line. If we build the altar, if we seek God, if we refuse to let go until the blessing comes, the fire will fall. If we will draw near to God and not quit, step at a time, God will draw near to us with his massive, giant steps, and we will be revived.